Hi guys, before our podcast begins, we're going to be listening to a quick trailer from another spooky podcaster called Dead Curious. Make sure you guys give them a listen and give them some love.
Are you a little more than curious about things that go bump in the night? If so, then Dead Curious is the podcast for you. From folklore to serial killers, the supernatural to true crime, each week, strange sisters Roxanne and Jessica share creepy stories, bizarre theories, and admit to being a little dead curious.
Hello and welcome back to the Paranormal Tea episode number...
12.
See, I'll let you finish it. So you felt like you had something to do.
Thank you very much. So this week we are in Hereford.
Hang on. You haven't told me to sing the song. I don't like singing.
Oh, you want to sing it?
Well, no, but you're supposed
to... Go on then.
Fine. This is the Paranormal Tea with Ryan and Bethany.
Woo!
Oh, it's the worst thing. Stop making me do that,
I'm
please.
Sorry. It's just in replace of when we get an actual proper introduction.
It's all temporary. One day, you'll all switch on to listen and it'll have a sick intro.
Perfect intro, yeah. So this week we are in Hereford and once again we have two longer stories.
Cool. I like the two-story formula. I think it gives me longer to get invested in the story.
What? You actually listen?
Yes. Some parts.
Part of me thinks that I need to do like a quiz at the end of all of the stories just to make sure that you were actually listening to what I had to say.
I should probably take notes.
You probably should. I'm going to get you a little notepad.
Here we go.
You can get like a little ghosty pen or something like that. I'm going to find it. I'm going to Amazon it. A little ghost notepad and a little ghost pen.
Well, that's my birthday sorted for the year.
Mm-hmm. So before... Well, actually, no, I'll tell you what stories we have for... our podcast today. We have a changeling.
Ooh.
Story. You love a bit of changeling, don't
yeah,
you?
That's
constantly
different.
Go on about it.
Are we talking like Fairy Stole My Baby changeling?
Well, you'll find out.
Okay.
And we also have a story which is kind of about like a dog, may possibly werewolf.
Right, okay.
But we'll leave that up for debate at the end of the story.
So there's a killer dog, which may or may not actually be a werewolf.
Yeah. And a changeling baby.
But they're two completely separate stories. So
they're two stories, yeah.
Yeah. It's not like the baby changes into the werewolf
no.
and then does all these terrible things.
But before we go into our stories, just some little updates on life. On
some
life.
Life dates?
Yeah. No. Take you back to episode 10 when Ryan was discussing crappy Telford. We recently visited his hometown. And went into Ryan's house for the weekend. And we had our own little paranormal experience.
Well, you had your own little paranormal experience.
I think you pretty much saw some stuff as well.
Yeah, but when I was like a kid.
It's up for debate, right? We found that Ryan's become a bit of too much of a skeptic, but I'll tell you the story of what happened. So, I was in Ryan's old bedroom, which is now his brother's bedroom. And I was doing my makeup in the mirror. And typical horror film mirror scare moment happened because the wardrobe door behind me like slowly just like not creaked, but like, you know, slowly moved open. Right. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, you paused doing my eyeliner. Like, this is not the time to mess me up. Ghosty eyeliner's difficult game to play. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to give it attention because that's what everyone says. It's like you feed into it, you give it attention, then it does more stuff.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, be brave. Trying to like quickly do my eyeshadow at this point, right? And then as I'm like carrying on doing my makeup, I hear behind me and I'm going to, because we're on a bed right now, so I'm going to like remake this noise. I heard this. I don't know whether that was audible.
You may or may not have heard
that. But it was the sound of someone sitting down on the bed behind me, like just beyond the cupboard door. So I was like, no. And kind
did
of
you,
just
did
like
you actually make that exact noise?
Probably. Yeah. I probably made a little and like kind of like quickly went downstairs. So Ryan's out on a run at this point. I know, Ryan exercised, well done.
I exercise way more than you do.
Ryan was out on a run, so when he came back, I was like, I think I just like experienced something paranormal. I'm not quite sure.
Did you say it like that?
I'm fairly certain I did.
No.
What did I say then?
Ryan, I've just seen something. I mean, you need to look at this.
So I took him upstairs and we were like looking at this cupboard door, which was now obviously open. And Ryan was like, he closed it and then you were saying.
So I closed it and then I did like the whole most haunted Derek. What's his surname? Derek Kukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukukuk please make yourself known to us by opening the cupboard door. Which I thought was quite, like, professional.
Can you imagine now, if, like, a door in here just opens? Shit, we
there's no cupboards in here, so we're safe. So, obviously, the wardrobe door didn't open. Nothing happened at that moment. And we just kind of forgot about it and went downstairs. And then, so I went upstairs later, and I had a number two. And whilst
why
finishing...
Why do people need to know that bit?
Because I'm giving detail into the story. Anyway, after I was finished my business, I was making my way downstairs, and then I thought to myself, I wonder. So, I opened up the door to my old bedroom, and there it was. The wardrobe door was wide open. Dun, dun, dun!
You know what would make that story funnier?
What?
If you saw the wardrobe door open first, and then you shit yourself in the toilet.
I've done it. Maybe that's actually what happened. I wanted to make it sound like that wasn't the case.
Not that you weren't scared.
Yeah.
So that was obviously our little paranormal experience.
Yeah. I mean, we did then close it and ask it to do it again, and nothing happened. Like, even when we woke up the next morning, the door was still closed. I think it's because we hadn't closed it properly. That's my little skeptic view on it.
What about the noise on the bed then?
How'd
you explain that? And there was an imprint. We forgot to say that.
No offence, Beth.
There was an imprint.
No offence, Beth. I wasn't there.
Charming.
So.
So.
Psycho.
Our second little update, which I haven't told Ryan this yet. So, okay. Authentic reaction. Whilst doing research for this episode, I came across a story called King of the Cats. And I was like, hang on a minute. Because that was in Lancaster. And there was basically an entire second, like, version in Hereford with the exact same story.
No.
Except for...
I'm calling bullshit then.
Except for the only difference was, and this is why I think it could be different, is that there was different names. It said, like, right. Peter is dead. Now I'm King of the Cats. So maybe this was a follow-on. Maybe there was, like, continuation of this story. And there's more talking cats who are pronouncing their, like, lordship over this kingdom of cats.
I wonder how many cat kings there are. Like,
maybe.
How much land does the cat king have?
True! What if there's just, like, one Lancaster?
There could be one king that rules the whole of England, one king that rules the whole of the UK, or it could be a cat king that just rules Lancaster.
True. So maybe it's still...
That's on the last episode. I swear to God, if you've got another story about talking cats, I'm going to zone out.
No, what I'm saying is I found another one. I'm not going to tell you another one. Right, that's just weird.
Well, technically, you've just done three stories there. So there's your third story for today's episode, guys. There's a talking cat that comes down a chimney and tells a dude that some other guy's
Peter's dead.
And
now he's the king of the cats.
Yeah.
But yeah, so going into story number one, finally... We're going to start off with our changeling story. Are you ready?
I am ready. Born ready.
Mary Bowen had a baby late in life. She already had one son who was grown up and gone to be a soldier. And then, just at the time when people assumed she would not have any more, she did. Now, this was a time when women had their babies all in a rush in the early years of their marriage and then found ways of stopping them when they felt they had done their duty to the husbands and the king. Mary having her baby at such a time was considered a bit strange, and it was the opinion of the town of Kington that no good would come of it. The birth was not an easy one, and shortly afterwards, Mary made it quite clear to her husband that there wasn't going to be any more of this sort of thing. At first, the baby thrived. The townswomen came around and cooed over it and said what bonny thing it was. But they still went away shaking their heads. As they left the cottage, they took care to spit over their right shoulders for luck, because it was never a good thing to admire a baby. It attracts jealousy. The baby was a boy, and it was felt that made it a good sight worse, because boys tended to attract more bad luck to them. He was born in the July, and so when he was about 3 months old, it came the time for hop picking. It was the chance for Mary to earn some extra money. She could not turn down the opportunity, but there was no one else to look after the baby, so she had to take him along with her as well. It was a warm day, the time of hop picking often is, because God and his saints like a drop of beer and like us to have a drop as well. She left the baby under a hedge in the shade while she went about her work, coming back to him when he grizzled and needed feeding. Mary was having a good laugh with her old friends, something that had not happened for a long time, because babies can be terribly time consuming. A good time, Mary for the first time in 3 months took her mind off her baby. But Mary was a good mother, and between the jokes and horseplay, it suddenly came to her that her baby had not cried out for some while. In a panic, she ran over to the hedge where she'd left him. It was all right. He was still there, and she picked him up gratefully and cuddled him. Now, a mother knows when there is something different about her child. She knew all his grunts and gurgles and the sounds of recognition he used to make when she picked him up. But now her baby was oddly silent. He was wearing the same clothes that she dressed him in that morning. When she looked at him, he still blinked back at her with his black eyes. Or was there something different about them? From that day on, life was different. The baby was always hungry. It suckled all the milk out of her so that she had to wean it quickly onto semi-solids, which it took to greedily. While she had always been proud of her good-natured baby, he was now grizzling from dusk till dawn and dawn till dusk, giving her no peace. It was as almost as if he was enjoying making her life a misery. But that was pure fancy, wasn't it? The thing that worried her most was that he didn't grow. Whilst other children of his age started to crawl and then walk, her baby remained stubbornly in his cradle. Nothing would induce him to come out of it, despite the prodigious amounts of food he was putting away. And its face. She'd been proud of her baby and knew he was going to grow up into a handsome young man, but somehow it had become all wizened, and there were hairs that were starting to grow out of his cheeks where no baby, and very few men, have hair. Of course, the women of the town knew the cause, because they tend to know everything. It was a changeling. The fairy race, so captivated by the beauty of a human baby, would swap it with one of their own. The only way to put the matter right was to beat the creature unmercifully and generally make its life so uncomfortable that it would decide to go back to its own kind. But this was her baby. Whatever the women said, she could not bring herself to mistreat it. So even though it mistreated her and her hair turned grey and lines etched themselves onto the face that had once been so smooth, she could not follow the women's advice. So things carried on for several years, and they might have gone on for several more, but the king decided that he'd got tired of war and thought up some other way to annoy the people. This meant that soldiers were discharged and Mary's elder son could return home. The soldier sat at the kitchen table and looked at his brother in the cradle. From the cradle, the baby looked back at him with his small, glinting black eyes. He went to talk to his mother in the garden, who was hanging up nappies, the baby still not bothered to do without them. That's not my brother. It is indeed. You're just like the townswomen with your foolishness. We'll see about that. He went over to the chicken house and took an egg. Still warm from the nest, he blew out the contents, as he had often done with wild birds' eggs when he was a boy. He took the shell back into the kitchen and put some water and malted barley into the shell and put it over the fire. When the fire was starting to get warm, he sprinkled in a few dried hops into the mixture. I am old, very old, but I have never saw a soldier daft enough to brew beer in an eggshell before. Then the cackle turned into a terrible shriek. For the soldier had drawn his sword. I knew it! Now I'm going to make you pay for what you did to my mother. As the soldier advanced, the creature in the cradle jumped out and ran away screaming out the door. The soldier following him as best as he could, but the creature went fast and away. The soldier was running around a bend in the road when he came across a toddler walking unsteadily towards him. Looking lost and distracted, the soldier picked him up and carried him home. All the child could ever say of his experiences was that he'd been kept in a wonderful place, under the rocks, and fed on the best of everything. It was the happiest time of his life, and he had never wanted to leave, but had no choice. All the rest of his life, he was considered a bit fey, and always seemed to be trying to listen out for something, as if he was trying to catch some distant music. You might think this is a silly tale, and nothing like this would ever happen to you, and I hope it does not. But one woman from the village of Orcop heard it and got her thinking. She had come home the previous evening and found her two small twins would not speak to her at all, though they had been perfectly fine in the morning. When she heard this story, she began to fear there was something terribly wrong. She got together all of the ingredients of the story in a bag, took the twins down for a walk by the brook. She put the water, malt and hops in the eggshell and threw them into the water. The twins looked astonished and followed the eggshell as it drifted downstream, saying, "We are old, ever so old, but we've never saw beer brewed in an eggshell before." As if mesmerised by the sight, they continued following the eggshell until they were out of sight. When the woman got home, her twins were playing by the hearth as if nothing unusual had ever happened to them. When they saw her, they jumped up crying, "Mummy, mummy!" as they always used to.
That is the silliest story I've ever heard. She's all like, "That might be the silliest story you've ever heard." Yes, it was. Oh my days.
What, more silly than the cat?
Okay, it's not that. It's not exactly. That silly. It's not that silly, but it's pretty silly.
So I'm going to start off from the beginning. So obviously, all of the townswomen are worried because she's too old to have this baby, right? Which is a bit bitchy.
Yeah, and they're all like, "Oh," and they're all really superstitious as well.
Yeah,
but like spitting over their shoulders and stuff.
People back then were super superstitious.
Where was this story from?
I don't know, but it sounds like it's from quite a while ago.
Yeah, which is always interesting because, like, you hear very like Irish folktale says pretty much the exact same thing about the fairies, you know, mm-hmm. like stealing kids. But then what I don't understand is they steal children and then give them the best of everything under the rocks, you know?
Yeah, because they like them because they're cute, but their babies are ugly.
Oh, so
steal their babies, the human babies, because they're really cute and they treat it dead good, and then they give away their ugly baby because it's like ugly and horrible.
I think I might have been an elf baby, a fairy baby.
That would explain so much because mistreat me all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I do eat quite a bit. I've got a bit of an insatiable appetite.
Have you now? And have you got hairs growing out of places that no man does?
I actually am pretty hairy.
Yeah,
too.
You are. But have you not got black eyes?
No, I've got blue eyes.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, damn.
Well, that's debunked,
but
that one.
It's so weird because how would that woman... So the woman was like, "Oh, I can't bring myself to beat it because it was hers," right? At the start, I'm like, fair enough, because you wouldn't go and beat your kid just because people in the town have told you that's what you got to do, right?
No.
But then it says that 7 years have passed and this baby's still in a crib, still the size of a baby.
Right.
Would you not be thinking, what the fuck, this isn't normal?
So when for you is it acceptable to beat the child? Like, was it that right? 3 weeks, it's not grown. Out the window. Like, definitely a fairy. Like, that'd be the worst motherly advice ever. Oh, if your child eats loads and doesn't grow, definitely a fairy. You have to put
it's
it in the fire.
It's got black eyes, a hairy face, and it's still a baby after 7 years. Like, come on.
This is the other thing as well, right? Do people age slower under the rocks? Because she gets the toddler back at the end.
Oh, yeah. It's
very conveniently, the toddler's running back to her.
Yeah.
But it's not been set, you know, it's a toddler. You're not a toddler after 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I might have been. If I was a fairy.
If you were, yeah. I kind of want to know how this guy's making beer in an eggshell. That's kind of...
I want to know how he knew that was going to be... Ah, oh, I've heard about this, yeah. Let me whip out the eggshells and freaking hops and I'll brew some beer in an eggshell. That'll really coax the fairy out.
I swear brewing a beer takes a long time as well.
The worst thing is, right, okay, fair enough. Let's say that he heard that from someone and somebody said to him, right, what you need to do is brew beer in an egg. That's how you get a fairy out.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first person that brewed beer in an egg to coax a fairy out? How did they know that was going to work?
It is a bit of a random one, isn't it?
Exactly. They always have stupid solutions. Imagine if that was a movie and the climax of the movie is the guy's like, I'm going to sort this by brewing beer in an egg.
Yeah. Because, like, up until the point where he's brewing beer with an egg, that would make for quite a scary film, if you think about it. This woman's looking after a little, like, gremlin of a child.
You know there's a film called Changeling?
Is there?
Yeah, with Angelina Jolie.
Was she looking after a little... fairy baby?
I think it's actually a kid. I've never seen it, but the kids, it's like a kid.
I thought they didn't just do it with babies as well. I thought that they like would steal anyone, because we watched that episode of Law,
yeah,
where there was that like woman who all she was a little bit depressed and her husband like basically thought she was a changeling and killed her.
True. So I think any excuse, I don't think it's any... to be fair. Yeah. I think you could be a changeling.
I've never been nice in the first place.
Disclaimer, if like I'm found to be bashing Beth's head in, it's definitely because she's a changeling.
Oh yeah, not just because you're a psychopath.
No. No.
So, moving on to our... Sorry.
Our second story? Is that what you meant to...
Second story?
Between your burps, like yeah. Moving on to the second story.
Sure. Our second story is called The Black Vaughan. Now, this was recommended to me by a person who's actually from Hereford.
Oh, local knowledge.
Local knowledge. He did tell us that there was something to do with like a pub running around it three times or something, but I completely forgot.
Who the hell's going to run around a pub?
I don't know.
Times?
There was something where it was like you have to like run around it and then you're fine or you're not fine. I don't know. But anyways, the person who recommended this story to us is our good friend Joe from another podcast called Hatred Theory. So moving on to our second story. Some believe they called Thomas Vaughan of Hergus Court Black Vaughan because of his dark hair or complexion. That may be so, but men did not gather their fear and respect needed to keep hold of land on the Welsh borders in the 15th century by the colour of their hair. The Welsh marshes was a difficult enough place to keep any inheritance together, but this was the time of what would later be called the War of the Roses. It was a rather delightful name hinting at pageantry and chivalry, but for those who lived through the war, the only red was spattered blood and the only white was spattered brains. Now, if you go to Kington Church, you'll be shown the beautiful tomb of Thomas Vaughan and his wife. They look the perfect medieval couple, with him in his armour, she had her beautiful long hands held together in prayer. He looks as if he would slaughter nothing more than a dragon, and she would spend her time making tapestries rather than widows. So, are the crimes of the past forgotten, or made part of our heritage? In a world of fearsome people, Thomas Vaughan stood out enough to be called black. He had started out well. Having been born with a snake wrapped around his neck, at least that was the popular account, clearly marking him out as one to be watched. He married well. Not just the land came with Ellen Gethin of Clanbister, but her reputation as well, as she had done enough to earn the name Red Ellen, having killed her cousin with an arrow through the heart. Well, after all, he had killed her younger brother, but that's a story for another day. Just to say that they were people unlikely to look forward to a quiet evening in. When civil war breaks out, all a man can do is follow his lord and hope that the side will be successful. Vaughan's lord was Yorkist, so that was the side he chose. Eventually, that would be the winning side, but that was no good for him. When he'd been taken surprise by a gang of Lancastrians near Banbury and beheaded, his body in two parts was brought back and given a proper burial in Kington Church. and that should have been the end of him. Even a black-hearted man cannot do black deeds without a head. The news gradually seeped through to his downtrodden peasantry. At first, nobody could dare believe that the good news of the Black Vaughan was gone. But as his absence became more real, then the possibility of freedom from him began to seem almost possible. Not that there was any celebration or anything like that. It would feel far too dangerous. Just a general feeling that the air had lifted a little. Then, the dog started appearing. A big, black dog. First, it was just something people caught out the side of their eye. When you turned, it was gone, and you almost forgotten you'd seen it. Then the sheep started dying. Not dropping dead on moraine in act of God sort of way, but with their throats torn out in a devilish way, and not eaten like a wolf would do, but left covered in flies on the hillside for a warning. People started remembering, Thomas Vaughan, didn't he always have a large black mastiff by his side? He always called it his familiar. Surely. Little Hilda was the only daughter of the miller that had lived. A life full of all that was good in the 15th century was hers. All the knick-knacks that the peddlers bought from over the hills were there for the asking. Not for her scaring the birds or washing clothes in the stream. For her, there was a childhood such that few other children in Kington could have expected. At least until such time as she was ready to be married. What plans her father had. So, when the dog came for her, she was deep in the wood. Just for devilment, because her mother had told her that she could not go there. At first, she was not worried by the rustling in the undergrowth. She had heard worse. After all, she was the daughter of the miller. Then, the dog thrust its muzzle out of the brambles, blood dripping from the thorn cuts on its nose, but it did not seem to care. Drool was dripping from its mouth in anticipation. She ran, and she ran quickly. But a dog can run quicker. Even in those days, you can't kill the only daughter of a miller without impunity. A few peasants and sheep were one thing, but this was quite another. Knights were expensive and the village could not afford one of those. Anyways, there was a war on, and anyone half good was in someone else's pay. So they had to turn to the watchman. The watchman was not a bad fighter. He had got the job through his prowess in tavern brawls and had valued the extra pennies that the job provided. But fighting Lord, and that a lord who has been transformed into a fearsome black dog, was another matter. Still, he couldn't lose face in front of the townspeople, who were generous in giving him drinks to shore his spirits up. One hot midday, he set off to find the beast. He walked all over Hergest Ridge. That afternoon, as the sun began to set over Wales, and the drink was starting to wear off, and the confidence that he'd felt at noon was starting to dissipate with it, it was time to head back. His duty was done. He had just been unlucky and had not been able to find the great beast. He was walking through a thicket of young birch trees where he heard the rustling. He knew it was likely to be a deer or at worst a boar, but his sword was out in an instant and he stood confronting the noise. He saw the dog approaching in the distance, walking through the trees as though it did not have a care in the world. He dropped his sword. Before he could stop himself, he tried to pick it up, and with it the dog started running. The watchman turned and ran, and he ran quickly, but a dog can run faster. They had tried civil power, they had failed, so the townspeople knew that they now had to try church power, even if that might prove much more expensive than a watchman. They went to the vicar of Kington and told him about the black dog and what they thought it was. Now, of course, the vicar had heard all about the dog before and what it was thought to be. The silk mantle he was wearing had been bought out of Thomas Vaughan's remorse after a previous battle and some hard killing. It struck the vicar that Black Vaughan might not take kindly to a man who had not done badly out of him in life, trying to exorcise him in death. Superstitious rubbish. It's just a big black dog and nothing more, is all he would say on the matter. And he was careful not to wander off alone where the dog or any disgruntled parishioners might find him. It takes a brave man to undertake the day's journey from Hereford to Kington at the best of times, but when there might be a big black dog after you, it takes desperation and a good few prayers. Imagine how relieved the man was when he saw the tower of Hereford Cathedral in the distance as he came over Pion Hill and knew that his journey was almost over, though he still looked about him with fear in case the creature could have followed him this far. He told his story to the first priest that he met at the cathedral door, who told the story to the dean, who told the story to the bishop. All the priests watched the bishop to see how he would take the news. Would the man have to be thrown out the doors, or was there action needed to be taken? The bishop was thinking. He knew the borderlands, the weird things that went on there. He barely controlled it. Here was a chance for him to show his power. Something must be done. So the 12 canons of Hereford were dispatched to fight this thing. In the dark of the night, they assembled in the great hall of Hergus Court, drew a circle and stood inside it with books and lighted candles. They prayed. They prayed that the dog would appear, and perhaps it would not. The spirit was not used to being called, but he came. The priests heard the great oak doors of the outer wall broken open in a way that no man could do. They heard the scratch of the claws on the stone floor coming closer. The door of the hall flew open, and there was the black dog. Its great red tongue lying out of its great mouth, the teeth glinting in the candlelight. The black hair of its body stood out, making it look twice the size than it was, and it was big enough already. It came slowly towards them, and the hair of their head stood out like the hair of the dog. It came up to them, and they could look into its eyes, and behind them there was not much intelligence of a dog, but something much deeper. Father Damien was the oldest and weakest of the canons. His candle had been shaken long before the dog had appeared. To each of the canons it appeared that the dog was looking straight at them, but Father Damien felt it most. He knew he should not speak, but he could not help himself. In a weedy, tremulous but mild voice he said, "Why so fierce, Lord Vaughan?" "Fierce I was as a man, fiercer still as the devil," roared the dog. When they heard that voice that seemed to come from the blackest pits of hell, the canons felt the sweat running down their backs like cold blood. Their hands shook so much that their candles blew out, and they knew they would soon be in the dark with the dog. All but one candle. Father Damien's hand was shaking no more than it ever had. The flame guttered, but it did not go out. As we all know, all the darkness of the world cannot extinguish the light from even the smallest candle. In the last remaining light, the canons prayed. They prayed that the spirit might be brought down so small and humble that it could be contained within a small silver trinket box. The dog felt the power coming and turned to run. It ran quickly, but God can run quicker. Its power was sucked out and quelled, and Father Damien lifted it up and dropped it into the silver box. "Let me out! Let me out!" it called, but now its voice was so high and reedy that it made the canons laugh. "What are you going to do with me?" came from the box. "Whatever we like," said Father Damien. "Whatever you do, don't bury me beneath water," said the spirit. Now they knew what to do. Father Damien held onto the box and he took it to the moat running round the court. The box in his hands was red hot, as if it was full of burning coal from hell. He wanted to drop it, but he held onto it until he came to the moat and chucked it into the deepest part. "And there you can stay as long as there is water above you." Well, fashions change, and over time a house even on the Welsh border doesn't need a moat around it anymore. But while the Vaughans remained at Hergus, they kept a deep pool at a place where the box had been thrown. Even after the time of the Vaughans was over, and the new owners looked at the pool and doubted its uselessness. There was not a local man who could be found to take a spade or even a JCB to it. But we live in evil times when people do not know their local history. The new owners of the court have young children, and the health and safety people say that pool should be drained.
That is. Everything, that story had everything. And then the end happened and it was crap. Oh my god.
What, the little voice? "Whatever you do, don't put me in the water!"
But it was like, it sounded like he came from the depths of hell. And then you put him in a box, he's like, oh, please don't put me in the water. No.
It was kind of like something out of Ghostbusters, wasn't it? When they like trapped them in the little box.
I was, and also like, why would it say, please don't put me in the water? Like,
now we know what to do.
Exactly.
Idiot. I thought it was kind of entertaining, to be honest.
It was pretty entertaining. It was cool because like the Black Vaughan guy, you know, did he make like a pact with the devil? And the devil was like, I'll let you go back as long as you do some nasty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh yeah.
Well, I think by the sounds of it, he was a bit of an arsehole before, wasn't he? Because people were saying like that he wasn't named the Black Vaughan for nothing. His hair or his complexion.
Yeah.
He was named that because.
He was a dick.
Exactly. He married a cousin-stabbing wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or wife-stabbing cousin.
Wife-stabbing...
No,
yeah.
Cousin-stabbing wife, mate.
Yeah. Shut up, Brian. So, what's your take on werewolves? Do you reckon
they're
real?
I don't know if I think he's a werewolf. It's weird. You don't hear about dogs talking. Yeah, I thought the guy...
Cats, maybe, but dogs, definitely not.
I thought the watchman that they sent to kill him was just like, that is just like a comedy of errors.
His like, plan was to get absolutely fucking pissed,
yeah.
Walk out into the woods and go, oh, well, it's not here, I'll have to turn back and just go, sorry, guys, I tried.
It's the fact that he dropped the sword and then right, he's like, you got two choices, you're going to pick the sword up, run away. Yeah. And he's gone, run.
wrong choice, mate.
Dog can run faster. And then at the end, God can run
quicker than the dog.
Oh, man.
He, my lord, it was kind of entertaining, wasn't it?
It was.
Can you imagine that in a film?
I think he would have made a great film until the end.
When he's in the little box?
Yeah, it'd be like... He could be like one of them cult horror icons, like, you've got, like, Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, the Black Vaughan, and then the end of the movie is him going, no, please don't put me in a box! No, not the river!
It's kind of like Leprechaun at that point, isn't it? It's like horror comedy. Oh, God, it was brilliant. It's in these little steel box.
I thought it was cool that they reckon that that's where the Conan Doyle got his idea for the Hound of the Baskervilles, though.
I've never watched that. So is there any, like,
the similarity is that, yeah, so Hound of the Baskervilles is about, like, quite a rich aristocratic family,
mm-hmm.
but they're all being picked off one by one, and they all, like, they're adamant that it's this big black dog.
Right.
So it's the idea that, and they're on, like, the moors, so they're quite remote, you know, but people would go out walking on the moors and then they wouldn't come back, but they'd be found like torn to pieces. So they used to say it's the Hound of the Baskervilles. And that's obviously where Sir Arthur Conan Doyle apparently got the idea for the, you know, from that.
Staying in a hotel in Baskerville seems very convenient to me. He was in a hotel in Baskerville. This woman tells him a story about the big black dog.
He was staying in a hotel in Hereford. Then he heard the story about the big black dog. And then he just went, okay, well, Hereford's shit. Nobody wants to hear about that. I'm going to take the story and say that it came from...
Is Baskerville a place?
No, Baskerville's the family. I think it's down, like, near Dartmoor.
Oh, right, okay.
I think.
Oh, well. So, I don't really believe in werewolves. I think it's a bit far-fetched to think that some human can transform into... a big black dog / werewolf, but this one is a little bit more understanding because it's kind of like he's a demon.
Oh, and that's far more realistic than a werewolf. Do you know the idea that werewolf and lunatics were basically people who used to go mad when there was a full moon? So you can imagine someone has a full moon, goes
that's
a bit
still
mad.
A thing.
Yeah, exactly. Goes a bit mad. But if they do like terrible things, like, well, I don't know, you get one guy who pretends to be a dog and start eating like cattle and stuff. Next thing you know, it just kind of gets embellished a little bit, and then people start talking that, you know, oh, he full on turned into a wolf. I'm telling you, like, he had fur and everything and a big snout, and you're like, did he though? You never know.
I'm just looking here because I was kind of like, ooh, I wonder what this says. So it's basically saying that it's like schizophrenia, which is like, well, it says 1.8% have increased violent, aggressive episodes during the full moon.
Yeah.
But I've always, like, thought that, because I was kind of confused about this, but now it kind of makes sense, was that, like, nurses, doctors, paramedics, all of that always say, like, they know when a full moon is because that's when, like, shit hits the fan.
Ooh. That's when all the werewolves come out.
Because it's like, oh, the only two people who know when it's a full moon is witches and healthcare workers. Because shit hits the fan. So now I really want to, like, I want to delve into this lunar effect upon people.
Ooh.
Wonder why it makes people crazy. But it doesn't make you turn into a werewolf and kill people.
Back in the day, people could have been, you know, like, could have exaggerated.
A bit crazy.
Yeah. Especially if someone did go crazy, had an episode, and started acting like a dog or a wolf. Then the next thing you know is, like, you exaggerate and it actually sounds like you full-on turned into a wolf.
Why would you slit the throats of sheep and then leave them? Because, there's not even an animal that would really do that.
Exactly.
Because the only animal that, like, hunts for sport is, like, alligators and that. And you don't find them in Hereford.
Yeah, well... Well, that's it, pretty much. That's one of the main reasons why people, when they see animals killed in that way, automatically assume it's a werewolf, because animals don't, or that most animals don't kill for sport.
Or it's a jealous farmer. Just saying.
Well, you reckon he's going to kill, farmers killing each other's sheep?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's dark.
Yeah, people do that all the time. They, like, let cattle go, steal them, kill them.
No way.
Because they're jealous. Anyways, well, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
So, I hope you enjoyed. Did you enjoy two little stories from Hereford?
Yeah, I did enjoy little stories from Hereford. Hereford had some interesting stories, to be fair.
It was.
About
it was
fairies and scary dogs.
So, I just want to give proper credit when credit's due here, is that I didn't write these stories. Stories are from Herefordshire. Is that how you pronounce it?
Herefordshire
Folk Tales, written by David Phelps.
So thank you, David Phelps.
So those are two of his stories. Not going to lie, there's two of the best stories.
Well, Jack the Giant Killer was a story, and you didn't play that.
No, because I don't want to know about giant killers.
It's Jack and the Beanstalk, man.
No, shut up. Anyways.
We could have been listening to Jack and the Beanstalk.
There's too much credit being given to Hereford here that they've got Jack and the Beanstalk and the flipping Pounds of Baskerville film. So
do you think do you reckon they're just taking credit?
Bit far-fetched in Hereford.
David was like, I need to fill a book up here. Right, we're having Jack and the Beanstalk and the Hound of the Baskervilles. Whack them on.
So, I hope you enjoyed it. If you want some more paranormal tea content, then follow us on our Instagram or our Facebook at The Paranormal Tea. We've just reached 200 followers on our Instagram account, which we're pretty fucking buzzing about. Well, I am anyways. So, if you want to give us a follow, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Congratulations, you've managed to make it to the end. You are a special type of human.